how she was collecting data. Yeah. I would have never looked at those dynamics if he didn't bring it up. So I'm just basically appreciating his input.
Okay. And when
well,
did he
thank you very much.
Florence Nightingale before to? Thank you very much. When did he mention Florence Nightingale before today?
It was about three What Youth shows ago when he mentioned it first, if I'm correct. Three or four?
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Okay.
Yep. Well, all right. Now I've spelled it all out. Hey, I've got a video going on the internet tonight, and it's my full report on Florence Nightingale, if you like. It's about 40 minutes long, so I'll share with that with you as soon as it's online, and you can get it on. Bob, would you do me the favor of putting it on your Facebook page?
Put it on my Facebook page. Put it on my Facebook page.
All right.
Brilliant.
Perfect.
Excellent.
And the other one about Thank Gary, you. 1974, that too, or is it all one thing now?
Yeah, both of those videos are now public, and I'll start making many, many more in the weeks to come.
Very good. But the Gary one, which we saw, you know, 3-4 months ago, is that part of the Florence Nightingale thing you're doing, or is that two separate videos?
They are related.
Okay, so but they're separate. So as you make your videos, you post them in my place as well as giving it to Eric.
All right, I will. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to have exclusive control of it, right? You're not contracted to them.
Nope, not at all. This is my YouTube series, and I'll take as many channels of dissemination as will have me.
All right, good. So let's go to what you wrote me privately or message land. Let's see. I didn't read it completely. Okay, the video is uploading now. The story of Florence Nightingale and the Telegraph Network. The internet here is really slow, though, so it might be 3 or 4 hours. Before that, oh, you told me. I didn't read this. I'm talking with Andrew McLuhan. He likes my stuff and is talking about how he needs fundraising to get a series of interviews done with his father, produced pronto. I happen to be like a 2-hour drive from them, right? Let's see. It flips a boat. Do this slowly. Your question. Hey, Bob. Do lonely people have 150 virtual friends? Is that Dunbar's number? Dunbar's number. Where do you get that idea? Is that who makes Dunbar's number? Like, is that what Mark Zuckerberg says? Lonely people have 150 virtual friends?
I was making a joke. It's Dunbar's number.
Yeah, right, right. But I looked up Dunbar's number last week. I don't remember what it was. Is it something to do with 150 virtual friends? That's the limit?
Not virtual. Dunbar's number is apparently the human brain is only wired to have a maximum of 150 close intimate relations. You can only know, like a human being can only know 150 people very well. So that's Dunbar's number. So I was making a joke that lonely people can have 150 internet friends, and that's Dunbar's number.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. Okay, I get it. So why would they think we're limited by that? What do we have they got examples of people getting to 160 friends and dying or something?
Apparently, I think it was studies on primates who can only have about 50 or 60. Like, they only travel in tribes of 50 or 60. And I guess anthropologists and biologists have been studying different populations and relating brain size, and they've calculated that most human beings average out 150 close friends tops with a little deviation, which is interesting. It came up on the Joe Rogan podcast, actually.
Well, do you see how silly it is that they're studying animals and making connected to us? They're just fucking afraid to relate to people, these anthropologists and zoologists, whatever they fucking are. It's all 19th century book schizophrenia. What are we going to learn from anything? The main thing to learn about nature is it's non-physical. That will blow your mind away. That's why that's why nature has an ecology. It's all synced in. It's all perfectly organized by ion. It's the non-physical world. Start looking at nature that way. They don't mind getting eaten. So it's the perfect expression. Go ahead.
So by physical world, you mean things that are fragmentary and systemized, like the humans make up the physical world in our perception? Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, humans are the only physicalness in the world, and we create everything, and we require contrast to create stuff. And then we are mm-hmm. little people need to be united inside that. They're nervous here in the physical world. They don't like the contrast, so they want something to make them feel that we all get along. So they created non-physical. And then nature showed up to mirror the all get along of non-physical. See, so nature is there for people to be impressed with who think they need some external outer kingdom symmetry, ecology, order, harmony, resonance. And they misinterpret nature in many ways, but ultimately the study of nature would come to its great interplay, what they call ecology. And that's just mm-hmm. the harmony of non-physical with no contrast. So nature has no relevance to the ascended. Go ahead. What?
So I see. So nature's got every level working together at every other level, and then it's us who talk about things like emergent systems and talk about how different parts of nature are DNA is a part of, right, without talking about epigenetics and stuff like that, like the way everything's all connected physically.
And that's all ignoring the fact that Wyndham Lewis was an exemplar model of the contrast and creativity, yin-yanging, you know, complementary meaning of yin-yang. They go together. The ecology of contrast and creation is not understood by humans. They think everything has to be uniformly calm or leading to a healthy outcome or a satisfactory completion. That's not going to happen in the physical. So we don't like to notice that. So we hold up the mirror of nature for some ideal thing, and all ideal things come from non-physical, like machines, to inspire and improve the physical. That's what incomplete physical thinks. So when you understand what nature is for, you got a whole different attitude what's going on. And then your children will be smarter. Nature is the exact opposite of what people project in it. What do they project? Nature, raw tooth, raw blood, raw something. You know, it's the meaninglessness of physical life that people like to project. And it's just, you know, endless raw survival instinct. And so it's based on death. And we wonder, you know, if they're going to go extinct and take us with them. And they aren't. So it's typical of little man. He's got everything backwards. The way they talk about nature is backwards, and the way they talk about themselves is backwards. So that's never been said before, Sean, and all the others gathered here. You're here first.
Oh, that was a good report, Bob. That whole non-physical...
Yeah, good report.
Mm-hmm.
It was my report, and I'm not even going to make
condemned...
a YouTube of it.
No. You're either on
well,
the bus
Clinton
or
make
off.
A YouTube.
You just caught it or you didn't.
Anybody else want to say anything?
Bob.
Yes, is that Brent?
Can you hear me?
Hey,
I'm on
Brent.
My cell phone. It may not be very clear. Hey, Clinton, what's up?
Well, you are up. Let's Let's hear that monopoly. I mean, anomaly.
Oh, this is an awesome one. So,
okay.
This past weekend,
I'll mute myself so I don't interrupt you.
It's a short story. But I'm at this party, and I'm just dancing around. And I see these girls dancing, right? And they're not dancing very well. So they're lined up in, like, a train formation, you know? Like, they're doing kind of like the grind train thing, right? And I think it looks a lot like a train. So I take a picture of it, and I caption it Amtrak. And I put it on my Snapchat. And I wake up the next morning to find out that an Amtrak train derailed and a bunch of people were hurt.
Well done. Well done there, Brent.
Yeah. Woo!
Excellent.
Yeah. So, that was some precognition through the chip body.
Awesome, awesome. Very good, Brent. I think Brent's going to get a few notches up the ascending ladder there. His powers,
yeah.
Incredible.
It was the alcohol, you know, Ian's talked about Trump's little slippage thing when he was drinking while he doesn't drink. And that night was weird. I was getting strange slippage feelings where it was like daydreaming, but it was a lot stronger. This is a bit graphic. I'll just say it. I remember I was having sex with my girlfriend, and I started to I think I said 4,000 for no reason. There was no reason. it was weird shit was going on that night. But, it's kind of fun looking back on it.
Okay, you were making love with your girlfriend, and you said 4,000. Did she hear it?
I just said 4,000. She goes, 4,000? Why did you say that? I really don't. I don't know where that came from at all. So some funky stuff was going on that night.
All right. Well, how long had you been copulating when you said it?
What's copulating mean? Coitus? What do you
mean? Sex. It means screwing.
We were pretty deep into it. Had to be like a half an hour.
Right. Was orgasm coming?
No,
were you starting to get close to orgasm?
I wouldn't say I was close. I think I was just very tranced out, but I was also very drunk, too.
Okay,
so that was a big part.
There's a famous song. There's a famous song in the 50s, 60 Minute Man. Did you get to 60 minutes?
Oh, yeah, I get to 60 minutes all the time. Come on, Pop.
Wow. We got to make Brent. We got to give him that song. If someone can find that 60 Minute Man, we should play that for 100. So anyways, you're doing that. Now, 4,000 probably was something to do with your biological interaction with her. I don't think you've been with her that long. What could we think would be 4,000?
I'll just have to think about it. Something's going to come up. I just don't know
it
why
could
I
be the Pico. The Pico, it's the Pico level of your RNA drops or something. Something to do with your input. Your 4,000. Back to Clinton for a minute. So, Clinton, you're doing the drops. Have you felt anything? What's been the effect?
Well, I can't say that correlation implies causation, but I've been having a really good week, I'll tell you that much. It could be working.
This is an example of ascension by default. I mean, he just being swept along in the Ferris wheel of ascension. He just said, "Well, I'm having a good week, guys." That's ascension. Yes, you're doing good. I mean, the drops will make it won't stop, Clinton. It won't stop.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thanks to Christian for sending them my way.
Yeah, and note that Deb from Boston has not come back since we threatened to send her some stuff. And why is she – I think I got to ask her, why haven't you given your address or, you know, yeah, given us an address? And she said, I'm still working on it. She's so paranoid, she won't give out her address to me, so she's trying to find friends, which she has none of, to be someone to get the stuff from, right, sent to her friend's address. But she can't get one because she got no friends. So she's just avoiding us. But, I told you that Deb was a spy. She's so paranoid. We're going to go back to Brent. Is your girlfriend on the drops, Brent?
I actually got them for her probably like 3 weeks ago, and I don't know how frequently she uses them. I don't even ask, but she may be using them. I don't know.
Yeah, you're trying to be cool about it and not be a bother?
Right. Yeah, I'm not even going to push it. She'll figure it out.
You know, it's funny when you said 4,000, I guess she thought, well, nothing's as many as that. She was shocked. At least on an interpersonal
4,000.
Yeah, like what? That's a lot of something.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. Hey Bob, let me run something by you here because had a thought last week. So the QAnon thing, I haven't been involved with it lately because I don't care about that conspiracy stuff. But I was thinking about it again because somebody brought it up during Coach House. And I was thinking how Q is kind of like the porn version of Ion. Like, he isn't Ion,
yeah,
but he's the Android meme version of Ion. And Trump is kind of like the singularity, because he's the thread connecting the chip body and the mystery body. So Trump's connected to QAnon and Ion. And he's kind of like the vehicle in which Ion can subsume the Android meme and kind of emerge from there.
Right. Trump is the Bob Dobbs. Trump is the Bob Neverett of a simulation of Bob Neverett.
Yeah. So, and then I thought of the re-MAGA thing. And then you said it in the video few days later, you know, re-MAGA.
Right.
And then
yeah,
I thought Trump's draining of the swamp is like the Android meme version of the emptying of the guff.
Yes, that's good. Yeah.
So that's what started to interest me again. And then I jumped to something about, how did I get onto, Eric Prince. Do you think Eric Prince, you know, the guy from Blackwater Security, do you think they are an extension of the Knights of Malta or the Templars?
They might be. I don't know much about them, just that he's got a very bad reputation, but he seems to be impervious and do what he wants. He could be an expression of the Bolsheviks and the Pentagon, but I'm not too concerned about him. And what did you just ask about him? If he's the Knights of Malta?
Is he an extension of them? Because we had that. You asked me, what do you think? What do you think you'd do with the police force? In a changing environment, you're saying, where's the police force going? And I told you, I just don't think there's a place for it. Well, Betsy DeVos is Eric Prince's sister, so if there has to be any sort of military order, maybe Trump would look to Eric Prince, because he may be an extension of the Knights of Malta or Templar and have some sort of Christian background, and they would pursue anything that has any relevance to end times, Revelation, any of that type of stuff. So I was thinking that they might be the people that would step in. And I think
Trump knows
that he has them in their back pocket.
Right. No, that's pretty good. I accept that metaphor. What is the parallel to in Iondom to the Knights of Malta?
I don't know.
That'd be Ionauts. Oh. You guys.
Right.
Oh, that's true.
Look at that. You knocked out the train. You know, it shows your power.
Oh, no. I wasn't thinking about it that way. I was thinking
well, no, you got to include that.
Cognizant of the train. Fuck.
Yeah, you're just still
maybe
trying
it was
to be
a runaway
person.
Train anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, no, the runaway train. Yeah, it's out of that.
yeah, but it's when that increases, it's going to increase, and then you're going to go, oh, my God.
Right.
Because that's how it starts. And then you're going to find stuff in your past where it already happened to you. You just didn't notice. And you're not going to remember it now. It just happened all of a sudden. You have these moments of what the hell. Everything just opens up. It's wonderful.
Right.
Just take the drops.
I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go over and let's see what's on the there's some things being said on the chat. Sarah says, Clinton, were you the one who recommended American Vandal?
No, I was. No, I'm not.
Okay.
Nicholas
says, Skype's not working. What?
I was watching American Vandal.
I watched it too. It was a good show. It's funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
Clever. Yeah. So we got here, Ronan, is medium still the massage? No. Part of this Web 2.0 is the medium does not massage people anymore. People are got vertigo. They're so immune to the media with their Facebook autonomy or Web 2.0 autonomy. The medium can't massage them anymore. That's the meaning of Trump. One of the meanings. So Sean says, yay for the Clinton report. Maybe I recommended American Vandal, Sarah. But I think someone told me about that.
I'm here.
Rob says, what?
I'm in here. I'm just under Google. I think so it'll show up like private for you.
Look, you said you want me to call you. Send me your phone number. By email.
I will. But I also just wanted to say, yeah, American Vandal was great. I thought it was really a good example of how you can find a code even when there's not one. You know, you can make a story out of anything, make it the opposite structure.
Are you talking about the director, the creator, or the content, the character in the show, the Vandal himself?
Basically, I'm talking about Universal You. Basically, just anybody can take any story and then take the perspective of any witness or any person that had firsthand experience in the story. And it would look completely different, retold through different people's eyes.
Well, that's the meaning McLuhan meant by the user is the content.
Yeah. I thought it was a really great illustration of that. Also, it was a harmless way to show that. And it showed, well, the intensity of conspiracy theories, but was so much a parody that it was harmless. I guess that's exactly what I mean to say. It didn't make me feel paranoid or upset or scared or tense. But it was really good at showing how things get.
Let's look at that idea of conspiracy theory. What does that mean? Because there's all kinds of crimes going on. And Mae Brussel and LaRouche are pretty good at laying out the criminals and the connections to the establishment that the regular media is careful about pointing out. Okay, so what is a conspiracy theory? It's like a bigger bird's eye view of somebody being a puppet on a huge level like the Rockefellers and molding everybody, shaping, somehow controlling. But see, first of all, that's not possible because our freedoms are so new now, freedoms to have different kinds of experiences. So nobody's controlling your experience. No MK Ultra going on. But you can be an emperor of a huge environment like AT&T or NASA or something. You can be the head guy in that, and you've got to keep yourself in the running because cash is, you know, flowed through quadrillions of a second signaling on Wall Street. So everybody, no matter how big they are, is subject to the whirlpool or the maelstrom. So there can be Bilderbergers controlling something quite big beyond the local communities. So there is a conspiracy. That's a fact. Where does it become theory? To say something's conspiracy theory is not understanding the four- and five-bodied model, not seeing the present for what it is, not seeing the Android meme. So conspiracy theory is like the new boogeyman, and it's really has nothing behind it.
Well, okay, conspiracy, it would imply that there's two things involved, be it a person and an environment or a person and a...
No, you know where it comes from, Sarah? It comes from conspire, which means to breathe together.
To breathe together, though. So yeah. It could still be environment, though. Still could be person and
environment.
Person and conglomerate.
There's nothing... Everything... Conspiracy theory is a fact if you define it the way I'm talking about. There are people who manage huge environments, you know, technological environments. Just take Zuckerberg. I guess he runs Facebook in some way. That's a conspiracy against you if you have a problem with it. It's not a conspiracy for everybody. So you can't even find something that's a conspiracy against everybody.
Well, then that...
ION. Now, wait a minute. ION, this is the new insight. ION's the first real conspiracy against everybody. Because ION represents the change in frequency of this dimension. Now, that's a fucking conspiracy.
The complete conspiracy.
I grew up in the world of...
That one right there.
I grew up in the Secret Council 10, a secret world, and that prepared me for the ultimate secret world of ION.
Mm-hmm. The complete...
That's why I ran away. And you know why I ran away? That was in 1953. Me and my... British intelligence colleagues fucked up in Iran, and the CIA beat us and put in the Shah of Iran. So my team was rather spanked, and I was exiled to North America in late 53. You can read about my diaries. I go see my family friend, Marcel Duchamp, in New York, and that's where I see Garrett in the crowd, but I don't meet him until a couple years later. But anyways... That's me sitting on the train. I've been kicked out of the nest, going off to the big continent, the United States, to not sure what's going to happen because I fucked up in our task in Secret Council 10.
Oh, Bob. Well, your fuck up is my blessing, so thanks.
Who's saying that? Is that Sarah?
Yeah, of course it is. Who else would be good enough to say that?
You haven't sent me your fucking email. I'm going to mute you. You didn't send me your phone number.
Ooh.
What?
Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, you wanted me to call you. Maybe it's not necessary. Okay, so what do you think of that, Sean? Very sad song, you know.
I like that you played Runaway Train.
Yeah, it's an awesome song.
With his train anomaly. You didn't know his... Did you know about his train incident before?
No. No, I did not.
Of course
know
not. Of course
experience.
Not.
No, I mean Brent. Brent had experience. But the... Yeah. What was I going to say?
In the
video for Runaway Train... If you ever look at the video for Runaway Train, I think they show all these dead teenagers, photographs of people who have died, you know, left home and died. Sort of sad, the endless faces. But, you know, teenhood's a dangerous time, isn't it? If you think you can go wrong. Ian says, it don't matter if you die. It matters now. The conspiracy has canceled the death zone. But up till now, dying was probably more fun than living. Ever think of it that way?
I don't know about
But
that.
But I've got an example.
Okay, wait. We got a fish on the line here, Sean. He says, I don't know about that. Okay, if you fully or ascended, yes, you don't want to leave the physical because you have the freedom to create and enjoy your massaging of contrast. But, you know, the bliss one feels, if you're a little man, you don't experience bliss much. You experience a lot of bliss in the guff. That's what, you know, okay. If you listen to our sessions
maybe, but
how to be stone cold dead.
I took that as the process of dying. It was fun. It's more fun than living, and I don't think that was probably ever true. It was probably more fun to live 100 years ago than it is now.
Wait a minute. You just said, so you were saying, I didn't get what you think. What do you think about dying? What did you say? You didn't like it? Or
I'm saying the process of dying probably wasn't ever a fun thing. Maybe once you get to the guff, it was blissful, but just getting old.
But you know that when you're going to die, you die, you leave your body before you're disconnected from it. You listen to our exclusive, never heard before, How Does It Feel to Be Stone Cold Dead series that Ion did at the very beginning. When you're dying, you leave your body, you float over, and you watch people react to the corpse or what appears to be a corpse or something that's starting to die. And you decide whether you want to remain disconnected, because you can go back into the body and revive. You remember we were talking about how Finnegan's Wake is the Irish tradition of, you know, have a big party and wake up the corpse? They're trying to influence the astral body that's floating over the corpse and deciding whether to really die and disconnect and go away. See, so
I'm glad
it
you
doesn't
said that
happen.
Because my mother actually said that to me. When I was pretty young.
What'd you
almost
say?
Almost that exact thing.
Well, how would she know? How the hell does she
know? Maybe it's part of that. It doesn't sound very new agey, but she was always into new age stuff. And she said, because I was probably a little kid and I was saying, oh, well, what happens if you die in a car accident? And she said, well, it's not really bad because you die before it really happens and you watch it happen. You don't really have to experience the pain of it happening. And then, you know, you kind of make a choice whether you're going to go or not.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Okay, whoever's the young lady talking, speak louder, very faint.
Okay, can you hear me well?
Yeah. You haven't emailed me yet.
I just did. Also, I've worked with people that have been brought back to life after being clinically dead, and they're always pissed. They're always pissed. Like, they don't want to be back. they're not. And I it partially to lack of oxygen to the brain. That makes anybody angry. But it also seems like they really felt like they had a decision, especially the people that were chronically ill that would pass on and then their family would have them brought back or resuscitated. They seem to, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but I really could perceive a wavering period where they're going in and out.
Very good. Okay, hang up and I'll call you and we'll play a little music while I do that. Unless, Carolyn, you want to lecture somebody, or does anybody here have okay. So does anybody want to talk while I'm gone for a minute? No. Nobody wants to talk.
I'll talk.
Okay.
I'll talk.
Okay. You go ahead. I'm going to disconnect and call Sarah.
So
go ahead.
I've
Start
been
talking.
Reading. I've been reading Carolyn's book, The New Magnesium Miracle, and I don't really talk about medical stuff here because that's sort of my background and I was so sick of it, but it is such a mind-blowing book. She pointed out the fact that magnesium is needed in glycolysis and cellular respiration, and I've learned both of those processes a million times, that, like, going over flashcards for hours and hours. And I knew that magnesium was a cofactor in like all these different reactions, but nobody ever says a fucking word about it, which just blows my mind. People just seem so dumb to it. Even naturopaths, I have a friend that's a naturopath, and I sent him a link to the book, and we had a little conversation about it. And people are just, they're idiots. They're not receptive to anything. They just want to stick to conventional shit that's been used for like the past 100 years. And it pisses me off. And I
makes
can
sense.
See how it pisses Carolyn off.
Yeah, trust okay. the experts. That's what you're paying them for.
Yeah, and but it's
okay.
It's
we're
right
back,
under
Brent.
Everybody's noses.
Here's hey, Carolyn. You can try this phone. Carolyn's phone wasn't working, but I heard you start talking about her book. She should hear this. Let's get her back in. Oh, it's dead? That can't be dead. You press it and nothing happens, eh? Jeez. Well, put your speaker on, Carolyn. Turn up the volume. I'll go to another room, and you can listen to what he's saying. Okay? You know, bring the sound up. Try to do that. He's trying to do it there, Brent.
You want me to repeat what
Brent.
I said, Bob?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I want Carolyn to hear it. Okay. Hold
oh,
it.
Okay.
Are you ready, Carolyn? This is up. Just a second. It'll be late by a minute.
Ready?
Yeah. Did you hear me now? No, no, she's on a bit of a delay. She's going by the computer. So
oh,
we'll just
okay.
say hello, Sarah. Good to have Sarah here on the phone.
Hello. Hello, Brent.
Hello.
She's not so far away.
Now I'm very close.
Everybody say hello to Sarah.
Hello,
yes,
Sarah.
Hello,
loud
Sarah.
And clear. Loud and clear.
Is Carolyn on? Are you guys going to talk about magnesium?
Yeah. Are
okay.
We still
here, I'm
going to
her computer. She can come over here. My computer. There it is, Carolyn. Oh shit! It's going to echo. You gotta sit here.
Hello.
All right, let's see if Carolyn can make this happen, Brent. Just a second. Bring her over the computer. Okay. Now you bring the volume up and see if I go away, there'll be no echo.
What happened to the other phone?
Just went dead.
Was it charged?
Okay, Brent. Let Brent talk. Go ahead, Brent.
You ready? Okay. So I started reading The Magnesium Miracle, and it really interests me because my background is in medical stuff. I just don't talk about it here very frequently because I was just so done with all that shit. So I kind of put it aside, but I picked up this book. I started reading it, and it blew my mind that magnesium is an important part of glycolysis, cellular respiration, and these are reactions that I've learned many times, and I know that magnesium is a cofactor in a bunch of these reactions. I think I learned glycolysis maybe 3 months ago, and it's probably in like 5 or 6 of the steps. And it's crazy. Everyone else knows this too, and, you know, we put it on our little answer sheets. You know, it's a cofactor, but yet nobody talks about it, and it's absolutely mind-blowing that nobody makes the connection. I sit in class and I hear about calcium all the time, potassium, sodium, potassium pump, blah, blah, blah. You never hear a word about magnesium, even that it's underneath everybody's nose. It's never mentioned, and it's ridiculous. So I've even sent the book to a friend of mine that's a naturopath. I've talked to him about it, and nobody is open to it. You know, they'll say, oh, that's cool, but nobody wants to have a discussion about it, and it's just, it's crazy. I don't know if it's people are burnt out and they're just reading these books in school, or even when they're practicing, they have so much information to remember, and they're just going off of what was already written in these books that are so outdated, and they're just not getting it whatsoever, and it's underneath everybody's fucking nose, and it's starting to piss me off.
Well,
and that's it.
It does get your hate gland going.
Just like Carolyn.
It does.
Yeah, it's just crazy that people don't even want to give it a shot. It doesn't even seem like I don't know a lot of people that take magnesium supplements, whether they're just the basic ones or I know the basic ones on the market now are shit and the laxative effect, but just nobody even wants to have a discussion about it.
Are you going to speak, Carol? You can speak. You can't talk back into the computer? Let's go down and see what happened to Carol. This is an important statement, Carol. No. See, you speak. It'll pick you up. It's a microphone. No, you're right. It doesn't hear that.
Yeah, I don't hear anything.
Here, you take the goddamn phone. It's an important statement he's making.
Vitally important.
Yeah, so you're talking to Leon. Fuck that shit. We want you to talk to...
Good for you, Brent. Yes, hey, Brent. I can't speak, Bob. No! It is important.
Hey, Brent, though, I think any naturopath... or homeopathic, or healer, anybody would recommend Epsom salts. And I think a lot of nurse practitioners are hip to magnesium. I just don't think they use the word.
The word.
Okay, Bob gave me the phone.
Perfect.
And I'm going to put it on speaker, I guess.
It was on speaker, right?
Are people hearing me?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, it's important. I talk about that every minute, every day. There's no blood test that will really accurately define it. They have no absorption studies on all the magnesiums. It's because it's not... identified in the electrolyte panel, it's ignored. So there's lots of reasons why it's been ignored. And then most of the magnesiums out there are crap, so they cause a laxative effect. People take a few pills or take it for a few even weeks and get the laxative effect and say, oh, it doesn't work for me. So it's got a lot going against it and to the detriment of the health of the people.
But our solution... Remag bypasses all that. So, yes, magnesium's important, Brent, but Remag comes in on another level,
yeah.
Disguised as a magnesium supplement, but there's more going on to it.
Yeah, so it's interesting, Brent, with the Random House book, the Ballantine Random House, I was really quite shocked that they let me totally advertise Remag and all the other products in the book. Like every time they kind of screwed around with me, I'd write magnesium in another dozen times. And when they kept on messing with me, I'd put put in Remite. It was like this war that I had with the publisher the whole year that I was updating the book. So anyway, by having the war, I made the Magnesium Miracle book one big commercial for our products.
Right, and the awesome part about the book is that the way it's written, it's the perfect formula to pitch it to other people because it makes sense. Normally, I'm that crazy idiot, mm-hmm. and nobody wants to listen to me, and I'm fairly knowledgeable on alternative medicine type of stuff. I've been telling people to go on yeast-free diets for a while. I tell people in my family, but I don't have the eloquence to, like, really convince people, and this book is the perfect way to pitch magnesium, and it makes sense, and there's so many references. It's just an amazing book. Kudos. It's just like, it's awesome.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. And that means a lot to me because a young, jaded person these days in the academic world, they don't really, there's not much that you can appreciate or give gratitude for. So thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, I would send that book to anybody. I would hand that book to a professor, and I think the way it comes across is it's totally professional, and by the time you're, like, halfway through it, it's a total slap in the face. Like, start looking into magnesium, you know? It just makes it so clear that people have to take it seriously. And it doesn't make it seem like it's some super-duper miracle, but it seems like a big missing component that they people haven't caught on to yet, and the Remag's perfect. So yeah, I love the book.
Oh, great, thanks. Yeah, I just sent a copy to Dr. Malcolm Kendrick. I talk about him. He's a Scottish MD, and he's quite outspoken about just the abuse in medicine of all the drugs, all the testing, all the commercialization of our bodies. And one of his books is called The Great Cholesterol Con, and that shows that statins are really totally misused, inappropriate, and dangerous. And he recently wrote about magnesium, and in his first blog, he said, well, you know, some people are deficient, the people on stomach, heartburn meds, we know that causes magnesium deficiency. So he kind of just danced around because someone said, well, you know, people are saying magnesium is important for heart disease. And then the latest study came out, I mentioned this on Monday, that magnesium deficiency is a public health crisis. And it was a very good paper, but it just repeated what's been said for 30 years. So he wrote another blog and said, my mind has been changed. And doctors don't do that. They always hide behind, well, whatever I said, I'll never change my view. So he came out and started saying that, yeah, it looks like magnesium is really important. But then he just talked about the serum magnesium test, which is crap, and didn't really tell people what to do. And he's had hundreds of comments on blog, and people are saying, oh, well, I read Dr. Dean's book, Magnesium Miracle, and it's really important, etc. So magnesium is really getting out there, and people are talking about it, but it needs a big educational push. That's why most of what we do in the company is customer service, educating people.
Yeah. Now, do you urge like naturopaths to call into your show and listen, or how do you go about that?
Well, no, we're mainly just public outreach. I kind of gave up on doctors a long time ago because they usually have a lot of debt, and they have to pay back their debt. So they don't get involved with our products because we don't wholesale them. And unless they can buy them half off and then double the price, And if that were the case, they and we would be selling Remag for like $50 for an 8-ounce bottle. And I didn't want to do that. So I just made it to the public directly. So I don't kowtow or cater to practitioners. If they find it works, they can tell their patients, and that's that. Sure, it would probably double, triple our business if we had sold wholesale and had doctors sell it. But unfortunately, I've had the experience with some doctors who really love it and they'll carry it, but then they seriously find out that they don't need to carry a tenth of what they carry in their supplement store if they use my products. And their office managers always put their foot down and say, you can't carry Dr. Dean's formulas. They're ruining our business. So it's a real battle, the whole supplement industry. And doctors, they do make at least half their income selling supplements.
I never even thought about that. And that's a shame. I don't really know what a workaround would be for that, you know? Seems like people are really concerned about their financial status. And I know that naturopaths, if they open their own practice, some of them are, you know, struggling to keep their head above water. So, I mean, I see where people are coming from, yeah.
Sure, and in naturopathy, they're not really covered by insurance. The billing codes, the insurance billing codes for medical visits, you know, consultations, procedures, are owned by the American Medical Association. So if you want to have insurance cover what your doctor does, they use the AMA codes, and the AMA codes do not cover nutrition, natural therapies, acupuncture. So that's why none of this stuff is getting done, because insurance won't cover it. It's a rigged game.
Insurance billing codes for medical.
Who's that?
Who's that?
Hello?
You?
I'm going to echo if I talk, so I'm just going to stay muted. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Okay, hon.
Yeah, I missed
you. So, yeah,
there.
It's a rigged game. It's a total rigged game. Doctors like me are blackballed. Rate, and as soon as they can blackball a doctor who's doing alternatives, they will. And that keeps us off the major media. It makes people fear us because we've been blackballed as quacks. Insurance code won't let natural medicine be covered. The FDA won't let me tell people that Remag can, quote, cure a disease. So it's totally rigged.
Yeah, your issue about Remag is the biggest issue on the planet. That's what a million women should be protesting about, not their stupid psychological problems.
It really is. It really is. Yeah, I'm just trying to wrap my whole head around it because, I said, reading that book, it pisses me off that people aren't open to it. And I haven't talked about this medical stuff here much, like I said, because it just pisses me off so much. I was one of those people that went into school and really wanted to help people, and I had a very big interest in health. And I still do to a degree, but I've backed off of that because so many people seem unsavable. And I'm wrapping up school. I have, what, two more semesters, and it's just time's counting down. What am I going to do? Because can I go – I don't think I can go into an industry that is so backwards unless people start catching on and doing the right things. So I'm just trying to understand and make connections on how to open people to this stuff or even open people to naturopathic medicine first. Just basic diet stuff that people aren't doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy because I go to school and I read all this medical shit that's just overwhelmingly hard to keep inside of my brain and retain, and it doesn't give anybody any time to have any bullshit sessions and really question what's already going on.
Right,
and it just
good
seems
point.
Dangerous
yeah.
because everybody wants to get their degree and stay in the medical field because there's so much money involved in it still. Everybody mm-hmm. wants to have that good salary, and that's what's going on mm-hmm. in, you know, the millennials in college now. They are not learning health at all, and they are not mm-hmm. open to anything alternative. It's just – it's crazy. But you're doing excellent work.
Well, what would be
– so grateful that there's yeah. someone like you that can actually – educate people and take the time to go against the grain and really question what's already going on, because there's a lot of problems and people are not well.
Right. Well, I'm so fortunate to have REMAG itself just as sort of my banner to wave, because it answers so many questions and exposes so much. But, you know, what I've always thought would be awesome would be to – and these days you could get a Kickstarter grant, just start a little storefront educational site or clinic where you put people on a diet, an exercise program, and maybe get a grant to put them on the Completement formulas, do a lot of intake information, you know, some blood testing, whatever, put them on a program for a few months, and then do the outtake and look at the difference. That type of research, nobody's doing. I mean, the people like me, we're having such a hard time just keeping up with what we're doing, and there's no research funding, no interest in doing it's not even an experiment. It's just an obvious common sense before and after. Oh, over to Bob.
I want to say
that's
this,
a really
Brent.
Good idea.
Brent. Yeah, take it up, Brent. Do it.
Yeah, see, I'll keep that in the back of my mind, because I'm getting my bachelor's soon, like I said, 2 semesters, and the choice is, do I get my master's? Because I was going to be a physician's assistant. And why would I want to work under a fucking physician anyway, right? So am I going to get my master's for $130,000? Fuck no, that doesn't sound like a good idea to me. So, yeah, that's a good idea. That Kickstarter is an excellent avenue to go about. I've been just trying to make connections like that, and maybe that is a way where I can get the Completement formulas involved and just do some basic diet stuff. Because I don't even think getting people on a yeast-free diet and a little bit of exercise, it's really not even that hard.
Uh-huh. No, it's not. You know, it makes me think about, like Dean Ornish. He'd put people on a little no-fat diet and really change the way, diet is regarded. Look him up, Dean Ornish. And there are other small studies that just, they just tabulated how many people take supplements, and that changed everybody's view of what was going on. So wide open field.
Okay, so yeah, you should do that, Brent. And if you work with Carol, you guarantee success. But the you know, the Church of Subgenes vision is that when the ashes land, which is ion, 2/3 of the world's population get wiped out. We're looking at the 1/3 that are going to be lucky enough to find Dobstown, Eindem, and Carolyn's work. They're going to get it, and they're going to be lucky. But the majority of people are just going to wipe themselves off the map. So don't worry about too much about reaching to everybody. The ones who respond are who your friends are.
Right, and that's completely the way I'm thinking, because that's the way I went into it, you know, a year ago when I first started talking to Ian, was that I wanted to help everybody, and I don't want to help everybody. I just want to be in the health field and pursue something in the health field and make a change when I can.
And,
but I don't want to save anybody.
Yeah, make a difference.
I know
you
a lot of people are so right.
Oh. Dave Neufeld's music.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Carolyn.
Hey, how you doing?
Not bad. How are you?
Have you on?
I just got in.
The unrecorded part. I know.
Yeah.
No, I just unmuted you.
Scooby-dooby-doop-doop-doop.
Scooby-dooby-doop.